That's our rebrand right there.
Dude, I like it.
The PC Gaming Shit Show.
It's really growing on me.
Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast, the not-so-PC PC Gaming Podcast. I'm Bobby.
I'm Ender's Logic.
And going with the screen name today.
Yeah, right? People can find me. That's my screen
with
name.
With a K.
With a K. That's my screen name on every game, every platform. Luckily, nobody takes it. It happened to me one time. I was like, how is this possible?
Somebody had that name one time.
Ender's Logic with a K.
Weird.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've got a lot to talk about with the Steam sale. Woo, yay. Steam sale is finally happening here. I remember there was
a sound effects. I was like, ooh, what's he got?
I don't know. What do I got here?
I thought it was going to be a kazoo.
The Steam sale. Yeah, I need some better sound effects. But I remember a couple of years ago where the Steam sale came, started, and we were like, eh, okay. You know, like It was that year that we were all kind of like over it. I don't know.
How I would say it's every other year.
Every other year.
I feel like we run into the same problem. We already have everything we need or we want. Mm-hmm. And then so like the same games go on sale and you're like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember back in the day, they used to have those flash sales. So you'd check every, I think it was 3 hours.
It was
8 hours. Yeah. You would check and you'd see like what the hot deals were. But I don't know if... I don't know if like the bargain bin is how I really want to be choosing my games these days. Like nowadays, I don't really mind how much I pay. I just, you know, I want to play certain games and other games I don't care about. So, yeah, here we are, the Steam sale. I did pick up two games, though. I bought Political Animals, which is a game that was made by Squeaky Wheel Studios. When I interviewed Ryan Sumo, of Squeaky Wheel Studios, talking about Academia School Simulator. He had talked about that game, and it was a political simulation game, which, oddly enough, is a game, like a genre I've been trying to find a good game in. Mm-hmm. There was one called The Political Machine that I played back in 2012, I think.
And this is 2020, so this is a new one?
Yeah, so they update The Political Machine whenever there's an election.
With it's all like
the
new seasons, like with new baseball players and shit.
Yeah, and that game was not very good. Like, it might be a lot better now, but when I played it, it was just very confusing. So,
well, they're making enough money to fucking make a new one every year.
Yeah, well, every couple of years. But
every couple of years.
Yeah, they must be making some money off of it. But Political Animals, the one by Squeaky Wheel Studios, it has a much different art style than what he's done in the past. And it looks really cool. And I don't know. I'll give it a shot. It was on sale for $1.50. So why the hell not? You know?
Mixed reviews.
Yeah. And not only that, but if you already own Academia School Simulator, you get it for $1.12. So I got this for $1.12. Couldn't pass it up.
There you go.
Yeah. So that's obviously what I'll be playing next week. But
what's the other game?
The other game is not really a game, but DLC. So I talked a while back about Pinball FX3 and how I was really enjoying that. And I had a lot of so the game is free, but then you buy the different
boards.
You buy the different tables and they usually come in bundles. I had a lot of Star Wars ones. The Return of the Jedi one is still the best one. I really enjoy that. But I really like Pinball FX3. I have, like, it's always a good game to fire up just for like 5-10 minutes. And I really had my eye on their expansion or their DLC called Balls of Glory. So this has an American Dad table, a Family Guy table, Bob's Burgers, and Archer.
Some winners.
I've talked about this in the past, but anything American Dad, like in a game setting, I'll buy. I even played that terrible mobile game for it just because there's like nothing out there. And I love that show so much. And of course, Family Guy I like a lot too. And Bob's Burgers and Archer as well. This is really good. Like I totally was like, oh my God, this is awesome. They actually have the voices from the show. Like the sound effects are real as opposed to the Star Wars games where it's very obviously someone trying to do their Han Solo impression and it doesn't sound anything like Harrison Ford.
Well, they probably pulled it from the show, right? For sure. They didn't bring the actors in for that shit. But
there's some lines. I don't know. A lot of that stuff they probably did pull from the show, but there are some lines in there that I don't think are from the show.
Have you seen the deep fakes that they can do now? I'm sure. Well, if you have license, right? Mm-hmm. You could just put every episode audio
but the deepfakes are all about visually.
No. They do audio deepfakes. So they there's like 2 minute clip of Joe Rogan saying things that he's never said before.
Okay.
And it's they can basically. Well,
I don't think that's the case here though, because if it was, they would have done it with Han Solo. Because Han Solo.
Oh, they probably didn't get the rights. Maybe. I don't know.
It has like all the Star Wars stuff in there. They use all the names and everything. So
yeah,
I don't think that's the issue. But it was really cool. Just. The theme of the board. I really enjoyed it. However, these tables in Balls of Glory are not as good as some of the other ones. There's some really good Star Wars tables that I really enjoy.
What's the best one out of these ones?
Probably the Family Guy one is very disappointing, actually. The Archer one is a little disappointing too. I think the American Dad or maybe the Bob's Burgers one. Probably American Dad, then Bob's Burgers, then Archer, then Family Guy.
You see yourself going back to this when you own those other ones?
Which other ones?
Like you own the Star Wars one. So maybe every time you see yourself ever going back to these boards?
I'll still play it. And I was surprised. Like a lot of the stuff in the American Dad one, like they make references to specific episodes. And so the way a lot of these pinball tables work is you have to activate a stage. Like if you do something a certain amount of time or knock the ball in these three areas, then it activates a stage. And then like these little pop-ups pop up and you have to knock them down. Or there's some sort of like mini game. In the Return of the Jedi one, you get on a speeder bike and you can use the paddles to like move left, move right, to dodge trees. And you shoot the ball to fire your lasers. Like it's pretty intricate. But American Dad has all those, a couple different stages as well. And they all tie into specific episodes, which I've seen so much of this show. Like I kid you not, it's the show I always put on before I go to bed. So I've probably seen every episode of American Dad probably 4 times.
Damn.
Yeah. Like I've been through it so many times. So I'm really enjoying it. And it was on sale for $3.39. So why not? Typically $10. I'm not going to pay $10 for that, but for a little over $3, absolutely. I'm going to pick this up and give it a shot. And there's still so much. There's
so
many.
What else do you have your eyes on?
Nothing really.
Okay.
Yeah. Nothing else really out there.
Hmm.
But I don't know. I'm getting so much life out of Pinball FX3. There's still so many tables that I haven't played that I own, like the Aliens one or the Alien vs. Predator one looks really good.
I really like those. Those are the only ones I've played.
And they have a lot of the original Williams pinball tables too. And then there's so many things that I don't own as well. They got a Skyrim board. They got a whole Bethesda pack, which would probably be good.
I played them all. I definitely like the Aliens vs. Predator way more.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that has been my Steam summer sale experience so far. What about you?
I bought a bunch of games. I put a list here. I'm just going to quickly go through them because these aren't reviews or anything. I bought Biped, which is a built-from-the-ground-up two-player co-op, couch co-op. I bought it because me and Sam haven't played anything together in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked that one up. Shadow Tactics. I guess we must have talked about it, but I totally don't remember covering it at all. It got a 93 from PC Gamer, and it's from the same guys who made that Western game that we were playing. Oh, Desperados 3.
Desperados.
Yeah, so and it was like $2 for a game that's rated 93.
Isn't that the one they gave away free with when they were first promoting some sort of launcher?
Could be.
I think the Bethesda launcher.
Maybe that's what brought the value down because everybody already has it, but I don't know. And then, who was it? Mini Del Macho shared an article, Best Deals on Steam. It's games that are rated over 90% on Metacritic and have over 80% off.
Hmm.
So it was like a cross-reference.
Yeah.
And so I went down that list. And so what else did I buy off of that? Bloons TD. I always like tower defense games. A lot of times I'm like, man, I really feel like playing tower defense and I don't have a go-to right now. So I'll give Bloons. It's got crazy good reviews. So I'm going to try that out. I bought the Quiplash pack. Well, I'll talk about that a little bit later. Just because I always go to Quiplash and it was 49 cents. So why not? And Crazy Machines was 99 cents. And that was that cross-reference as well. XCOM 2, War of the Chosen. That DLC has always been like $20 and up. Like you can get fucking XCOM 2 for $5 sometimes. But War of the Chosen will never go down. And then finally it did go down. I forgot what I picked it up for. But I want to say it was under $10. So I bought all that stuff, and then it gives you $5 on off for anything over $30. So yeah, that was nice.
Now, is that $30 in one purchase, or does that...
One purchase, yeah. Okay. I think it doesn't go on from there. And then I bought you a game.
What was that? Resitar?
Yeah, fuck.
I'll look it up, because you said it looked like Moon. By the way, War of the Chosen is $13.19 on the sale right now.
That's the cheapest ever. See the normal price?
Down from $40.
Yeah, down from $40. But the reviews on this are higher than the original XCOM. Apparently, it's got more content than the original game. Yeah.
Okay. And then this game that you had bought me was called Reseteer, an Item Shop Tale.
Yeah. So... I don't know. It's got crazy good reviews. Overwhelmingly positive. 5,000 people. It was 99. I think it was 99 cents. No, it was $4. So you better play it, dude.
Yeah.
And normally it's Japanese. And like, I know you don't play games like this, but I don't know. Maybe we'll find the gem here.
Mm-hmm. This game came out in 2010, so it's pretty old.
You can always tell from the sidebar, the size.
It's in that 4:3 aspect ratio.
Yeah. And it's so funny, dude. Like, Sam, one day I was like, yeah, Sam, you can tell how old something is sometimes because it has the bars on the side, because TVs weren't shaped in 16:9. And she was like, never noticed. I was like, you never noticed that there was black bars on either side of old things? Nope.
Yeah. Well, I was watching Simpsons on Disney Plus, and the older episodes, of course, were in 4:3, but they automatically set a setting to make them widescreen, and they crop the bottom and the top, which totally ruins some of the jokes in the show.
Can you change it?
Yeah, you can, but apparently you couldn't for the longest time when Disney Plus first came out, and people were like, what the hell? And eventually, Disney had to do something. Apparently, it was a lot of work for them to change it where you could flip the option to show it in 4:3. And it's kind of buried, too, in a weird spot.
I'm very happy with Disney Plus. Their UI needs some work, I believe. It's just kind of a weird setup. It feels like there's nothing on there, but there's actually a lot of stuff on there. You just got to look for it weird. Yeah. Or by name. Just a shout out really quick because it came to mind. If you got kids, like toddlers or higher, there's a show called Bluey on Disney Plus about Australian cattle dogs. It's a cartoon. It is so good. Like, you can watch it as an adult, and it's for toddlers. It's that good. And they touch on, they touch on death on, a toddler show. But it's done really well and really tastefully.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So those are the games that you picked up. Well, what have you been playing this week?
So I went down. Well, let's go with Gunfire Reborn.
Okay.
Because I'm going to talk a lot.
All right. Well, thank you very much to Fastidious for buying this for me, man. I'm getting gifted games. This is nice.
Sonny, what to get you to fucking play games, dude?
No, I still play games.
Free ones?
No, I play a lot of... I got to look at the games that I've been playing this past year, because I feel like I've actually been playing a lot, and a lot of newer games as well. Definitely compared to last year.
Yeah.
But Gunfire Reborn, so this is a game that you had played. It was originally $12, which is a great deal for a game like this. And it's on sale for $10.55. So you save a little bit, but really this game's already feels like it's discounted.
And I really feel like, pick it up now, because after they come out of early access, this is going to be at least $20. That's my guess.
Yeah, I would say so too. It seems like, it doesn't seem like a $12 game. This seems like at least a $20 game. And I've gotten a lot of hours out of it. I've gotten pretty far into the game. So it's a roguelike first-person shooter with co-op, and it's got this kind of Asian or Japanese type of theme to it. Mm-hmm. And I definitely see what you were saying when you had played this game, that it requires multiple playthroughs.
There's no way you could beat that boss on skill alone.
It's pretty much impossible to beat the bosses. Not only that, but really, they want you to unlock the talent tree, too. Mm-hmm. And to do that, you have to play through the game. You have to earn these specific... Yeah, I think they call them essence, like a certain kind of points. And then you can spend that in the talent tree. And it takes you a while. I am level 45. I've spent...
By the way, dude, I was like... I played it. I was having a good time with it. Off and on, jump in with people, whatever. Mm-hmm. After the first day, I looked at your level, you were like 37. I was like, holy shit, dude.
The earlier levels went quick. But yeah, I really raced up the the ladder there on this one. So I have not beaten the game. I've come very, very close two times to beating the final boss, which is a giant ship that pulls in a harbor and shoots these cannons at you.
You went through all four levels, dude?
There's three levels.
Oh.
Yeah.
SOCOM said it was four.
I think there's three bosses, I believe.
How do you know that was the final boss?
Because whenever you die, it shows like a map of how far you made it.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it shows like the bosses. It just shows like level boss, level gotcha. Boss. And so I could tell that was the last boss. Plus if you look at the achievements and because you have to reach these achievements to unlock the different items that you can get in the game and also, different weapons. So when you look at the achievements, it's like, you know, beat this boss, beat that boss, and beat that boss.
Oh, gotcha.
So, yeah, there's a, you know, the first level is pretty generic. It's like kind of inside a tomb. Second one's a desert level. And the third one is kind of like a village at night. Hmm. It's
haven't seen it.
Yeah, with like the ocean next to it. It's a good looking game, and it's not really that like elaborate with its design. But, yeah, I definitely see that it's trying to force you into that. The replayability of it. And it's a little bit grindy because of that.
But the grind is super fun.
It is fun, but it's really hard because the whole idea is to find like a synergy between your abilities and your weapons. There's different elemental damage types. There's different items you can get that change things, like now your headshots do 200% damage, but your normal shots do half damage.
Yeah, or give and take stuff.
Yeah, or you can't do any more crits, but you just do more damage altogether. Mm-hmm. So there's all these things that change, and of course, each run, you're going to get different items, you're going to unlock different abilities, because when you unlock like an ability that lets you unlock something in your talent tree, I should clarify, there's a separate talent tree, like a skill tree that you have that's specific to your run. So when you start up a new game, you have this new skill tree where you can unlock things and you get offered a choice of three and you get to pick one. So you have a little bit of control on how you can control or how you can
start
pick
off.
That, pick those, but really not much. Like I always try to go with, if I'm playing the first character, I'm always trying to go with corrosion damage because his grenades do corrosion damage. And I feel like the prism, the little knife that you throw is like a really good weapon. So I always try to do that if I'm playing that character.
It's a good combo, those two together.
Yeah. But I don't always get offered those abilities, like the things that enhance my corrosion damage. Yeah. You know, sometimes I just have to go another direction with it. And it is kind of difficult to tell exactly how much damage you're doing and what synergy you're building. Obviously, if the enemies die faster, yeah, you're doing a lot of damage. The numbers will also fly up and let you know how much you're doing, but it's so quick, it's really hard to tell. It's kind of like, wow. At the end of the game, it tells you how much damage you did overall, and that's a little bit of a metric, but it doesn't really help you that much in determining how effective your build was. Yeah. And that's what's really tricky. I have yet to like go on YouTube and like, you know, most effective build for Gunfire Reborn and really try to like min-max this thing. But I wish there was a little more clarity in the game, letting you know what you're actually doing.
I feel like I go off a feel most of it. Like you can feel when you're like, holy shit, I'm doing tons of damage here. But then you're just taking what they're giving you. Because it's like, really, who cares what the best thing is? Because you're not going to get that every run. You're going to get that every fourth or fifth run.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah, you just kind of have to make do with what that run offers.
Yeah.
Which is nice. I also wish, you know, when the multiplayer comes into effect, like, I wish that they had, like, a damage count at the end of each level, or at least after the boss fight, so you could really tell how effective you were and how much you contributed. Mm-hmm. I think that would add a little bit to the game as well. But otherwise, like, I really enjoy this game. It's a roguelike.
$12, man, it's a steal.
Yeah, every run is exciting. I do find myself at this point often getting matched up with people a lot lower level than me. So I feel like I'm doing a lot of the carrying, which makes it very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. So I've been playing a little more single player.
Yeah.
But it is the multiplayer aspect is really great. And if there is communication, you can do some devastating combos because there's a lot of weapons that are like
suck people into an area or hold them
Well, yeah. Yeah, there's one that does that, the bone something or other. But there's also a lot of them that do more damage if the enemy is on fire, or if the enemy has corrosion damage, then this does double damage. So if you can coordinate that with your teammates and they can say, look, I'm going fire damage, and okay, I'm doing, you know, I'm building this, then you could do some really great damage. But I have yet to really play with, like, going with a set group. I've just been grouping up with randos.
Oh. A lot of people on the server are playing it. I was playing it last night with JP Diddy. Fastidious is playing it. SOCOM's playing the shit out of it.
Yeah.
So there's people playing it.
Yeah, I gotta group up with people on a set group. I don't like how they make, you know, this thing that I absolutely hate that games do. They automatically turn on all talk with your comms. So I jump into so many games and somebody has their mic on and they don't realize it. And they're like talking to somebody else. And then you go to tell them that, hey dude, your mic is on all talk. You need to change it to push to talk. And then you hear your voice bounce back super loud.
Dude, I went to my first meeting on BlueJeans. BlueJeans is kind of like Zoom. The first time ever doing something like that. And man, of course it was like, the Mexican guy, his mom just would not shut up, like in the background, like just talking and talking. And I had to fucking text him on the side. I'm like, dude, you got to fucking mute your mic. He's like, oh shit, sorry.
Yeah, a lot of that happening right now. But yeah, I mean, overall, really good game. And like insane that this game is only $12.
Yeah, it's only going to get better, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, that room right there, you know there's a secret chest in it?
In the boulder room?
Yeah. It's an epic chest, too. You can always get an epic item out of it. Huh. It's where the boulders are crashing against the wall. Look that way, where they ultimately end up, and you'll see a pony wall.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of those vaults have little secret areas where you can get a little bit more out of it.
What's up with the dog, dude? I've never played him. I haven't unlocked him yet.
He is... he takes some getting used to. Like, he's very different from the other character. So he has, like, a fire ability, but his big ability is he can dual wield weapons. You activate it, he pulls out both weapons, and that's really important because you can equip, you start out with one weapon and then you can later equip two others. You almost never go back to that third weapon,
right?
But the two weapons that you can equip, you can have one that does, again, you can combo yourself. Yeah, you can find synergy between the two weapons. You know, you can have one that lights them on fire, and then your other weapon that you switch to does extra damage if they're on fire. So him being able to dual wield weapons is actually really, really crucial. Like, you can get some, you can do some insane damage with that. I haven't played him that much. I've only played a few games with him. I'm still kind of leaning on the first character because... the talent tree is the same, like the one that you unlock and it carries over from game to game. It's the same for each of the characters, except for one in the right column. You can unlock a couple different things for each character.
And you probably already have the cat maxed out.
No, actually, I'm not even halfway.
No, I'm being on the right, though. The cat specific one.
I think I've got like 2 or 3 out of 5.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Anyway, we can both recommend this game, especially for $12.
Yeah. Gunfire Reborn. Fantastic game.
Good little view. The look of it is just appealing, man. Mm-hmm. Reminds me of Torchlight. Okay. So, I've always been a Smash Brothers fan, and the PC has never had, like, the quintessential, well, in my opinion, the quintessential Smash Brothers clone. So, there's been a few of them. I've played most of them, except for one. So, I wanted to go take a look at where these games are now, compare them, and let you guys know which one to spend your $5 on or whatever it is. So, I played the Front Runners. So, first of all, I played Rivals of Aether. So, this game, it seems to me like... this was made by some hardcore Smash Brothers players because it's almost like tournament style. It has the exact same move list as Smash Brothers does. There's no items. It's almost exactly set up how a Smash Brothers tournaments happen. It's one-on-one. I mean, you can play 4 players, but I think this game's intended for one-on-one. No items. There are no items in this game. And it's just kind of like... just like hardcore Smash Brothers, like tournament play. I liked it. It has the worst graphics of the three. It's pixelated graphics, maybe 16-bit. I wasn't wowed by the characters. This is probably the worst game of the three for me. I mean, if you like that really high-paced one-on-one stuff, you might really enjoy this. But it wasn't the Smash Brothers that I was looking for, so I can't really recommend it that much. It's got really good reviews. I believe it's $8. Bobby, can you go down a little bit?
Scroll down.
Yeah, $8.
On sale for $7.50, but typically $15.
Yeah, and I couldn't say it's not worth that, especially if you take a look at it and you think it's good. This game actually has a story mode, which kind of looks like Mega Man. It has a ton of modes. It's been out forever, and they've been building on it. But yeah, no recognizable characters. The graphics are the worst, and I didn't like the feel of it very much. But so I'll put that one in last place. Next up, I played Brawlhalla, and Brawlhalla is like the only one that I would say is not a clone. They definitely went for their own thing here. So the way they made their characters, generally every character has their moveset and then that's it. And you have, 50 characters and you have to learn them all. But in Brawlhalla, I like what they did here. Depending on what kind of weapon the character uses, that's his moveset, right? So you start off with punches. If you pick up a guy's with the dual-wielding pistols, let's say, that's a moveset that all characters with dual-wielding pistols can do. And then let's say he can also use the long staff. So, and that's another moveset. So there's only four moves you can do with the dual-wielding pistols and four moves you could do with the long staff. But you have to pick it up. So what I really liked about that is it adds that part of Smash Brothers to it, the whole run and grab the item first, because every character who gets it, you pick up your item. For one guy, it might be the dual wielding pistols, but the other guy might pick up the katana, but it's the same pickup. It's just like you're picking up a weapon. Does that make sense? So it adds that whole mobility. The other style that I was just talking about without the items, you're just beating the shit out of each other and you're just meeting over and over in the middle until somebody gets knocked out. This, at least, it adds a little bit of luck, which I really like, because not everybody is skilled as other people. So, but maybe somebody's quick enough to get to the item first and has a
small. It kind of evens the playing field.
It can. I mean, it could make it worse too, but at least there's that little randomness in there. Also, this game has tons of recognizable characters. They got a ton of IPs. So they have like Lara Croft. They have Ben 10. Can we see a character list, Bobby? There's just a bunch of characters. And the reason they can do this, because they don't have to program all new movesets for these people. They can just, this guy is going to have the spear and this guy is going to have the dual wielding pistols. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's already pre-built. So really all you're doing is changing the way the character looks, which is why they have like 100 characters. This game is free to play. So if any of this sounds good, I would definitely check it out. It was super fun. I was playing against randos and I was like on the edge of my seat. Even though it didn't copy Smash Brothers, it got a formula right to make you feel like you got the same feeling out of it, even though it wasn't achieved in the same way. Mm-hmm. So I think this one is tied for me with the last one that I'm going to talk about, which is Brawlout. This is Brawlout's the newest one, I would say, least developed. Only in time, but if you play it, man, it feels just like Smash Brothers. It's by far the best looking one, and they also have different IPs in it too, which is something that, it's a Smash Brothers thing, so they have Ryu and stuff. But this one has like PC gaming guys, so it has the guy from Hyper Light Drifter, it has the guy from Dead Cells, it has Juan from what is it?
Guacamelee.
Guacamelee, yeah, which is who I picked. I rarely lost. He's fucking so good. And he has the exact same, like, I think you could play it. You could just pick him up and play. It just feels like you're playing Guacamelee, dude. Mm-hmm. I had so much fun playing him. I guess this guy's from another ukulele.
Oh, yeah, ukulele.
I don't know what game that is.
The game is ukulele. Yeah.
But, man, it's cute. Like, it has everything going for it. The only thing it doesn't have items, which I like to play with, but most players don't on Smash Brothers. It just felt good. And then the thing about these games now, man, that changes everything is the remote play together. I bought this, and then next thing you know, I'm playing with four people that don't own the game. They were dealing with a little bit of latency, but I thought we were having a blast, man. Everybody's laughing. We're just making fun of each other. You know, you make mini alliances when, you know, because I was kicking their asses, but so they were like teaming up on me and just all that fucking old couch co-op stuff. So it's hard to put one in front of the other. I really like some of the decisions that Brawlhalla did, but this just felt so good. It felt perfect to me. And it looks so good, and the characters that it has, and the unlockables, there's tons of unlockables. There was probably like, there's more unlockable characters than there was that it came with. So I would say it comes with 15, and there's probably maybe 20 that you can unlock. So there's a ton of characters.
And this game is $5 right now.
$5.
Typically $20 on sale for $5.
Definitely can recommend it. And, you know, it's probably got the worst reviews out of the three, but I feel like, you know, these are games in process, in progress. They, you know, they're constantly working on them. The YouTube video that I saw, the first review that I saw on this one, said there's no ledge grabbing in this game. But when I play it, there's ledge grabbing. So these are things that they're constantly working on. And yeah, I really like this one.
It doesn't say it's in early access.
No, not this one. The last one was. But I'm saying that they still work on it. Like, adding the Dead Cells guy, that's a relatively new game.
Yeah, yeah. So it's probably receiving a lot of updates. I wonder how the remote play affects the latency for the other people playing.
How was it? Anybody listening? How bad or good was it? Was it Sniper and who else was playing with me? Nick?
So Brawlhalla is actually free to play, but you can buy the All Legends pack for $20 on sale for $15.
I might be wrong here, but I definitely bought Brawlhalla. Like, I paid the $15 originally for it. You know, it wasn't always free to play. I don't see that I got anything for owning the game previously. Mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of shitty.
Yeah, usually they give you something.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, there is other stuff. Collector's Pack for $90. I wonder what's in that. Battle Pass Season 1, Spring Championship 2020 Pack.
Probably skins.
300 mammoth coins, so it looks like there's some currency you can get. Taunts. Yeah. What's this $90 pack here?
Does it tell you? Where's the details?
About this content. 3,500 mammoth coins. All legends pack. Couple of skins. Yeah, and effects. So, yeah, some cosmetics, currency, and unlock all the characters. How many people are playing Brawlhalla? This seems like, since it's free to play, it seems like this would be popular. Oh, wow. 15,000 people playing right now. All-time peak, 31,000. Today's peak, 20,000.
Yeah, a ton of people playing this.
A lot of people playing Brawlhalla.
Yeah. What about the other one?
Brawlout?
No, the other one.
Rivals of Aether?
Yeah, Rivals of Aether.
Let's see. Both of these, Brawlhalla and Rivals of Aether, came out 2017. Brawlout came out 2018.
Yeah, way less.
1,000 people playing right now.
Yeah. So, it was so easy to jump into a game on Brawlhalla. Mm-hmm. The animations were tough, man. It almost looks like a web game sometimes, but it doesn't matter. The game was fun as shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But out of these three, I'll probably be playing Brawlout the most. Maybe because I'm undefeated.
Is it, online PvP. Okay.
Nick says it wasn't bad at all.
Oh, God. 12 people playing right now. Good luck finding a game, man.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If I have friends, they don't need to buy the game.
That's true.
We were having a good time. Sniper says, pretty fun. Emilio shook his computer when it was bad. Oh, yeah. Because I would, flick my stick back and forth sometimes, and they heard that. And then they would say that, like, when I was in trouble, I would make the latency go up, shaking my computer.
Wow. All right.
Maybe I'm wrong, Wakronius.
All right. Fibbage 2.
Yeah, so we had a drunken Jackbox game last night. And, you know, the go-to is Quiplash. But people were really starving for something new. We played so much fucking Quiplash, regardless of it being fun. People wanted, and you know, I was a little, I didn't want to play other games. I was like, no way that Jackbox has multiple really good games. And I was wrong. So Fibbage 2, we went by, I think John JP had found a list of the best of what's on the Jackbox games.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all six of them. So it ranks all of them. And apparently, if you're going to buy only one, all the greatest ones are on Jackbox 2. For the highest rated things. So okay. Fibbage 2 is kind of like, just so you, for the sake of brevity, it's kind of like you get a news headline and one word is missing. And then you could either insert a joke, like you can make fun of the whole mm-hmm. thing, or you can try to lie and make it sound like you got the actual article correctly. So let's say it was like man bites dog, right? And if you put dog in there as your thing, and it was actually dog, you as a, not the judge, get points for that.
Okay.
And then if on top of that, if the judge picks dog and you had got dog as well, then you get like even more bonus points. But most people were just fucking around. They say man bites caterpillar or whatever it was. That was most of them. But it was interesting and it was fun.
So when you make like a funny attempt, does...
Somebody might just pick that just because it's the funniest one.
Okay.
You're really playing to your audience.
But so you have to pick it and somebody else has to pick it and hopefully they match? Or is it like Cards Against Humanity where someone says, oh, yeah, that's the funniest one, you get the points?
Yes. But okay, there's an additional thing about it where you could also go for accuracy, mm-hmm, not just
okay
ridiculousness. You know what I mean?
Huh.
Oh yeah, because if you lie about the headline, because you know what the headline is, and they actually think you told the truth, then you get points. You know what I mean? Like if mm-hmm you made it sound like it was an actual article, then you win. Well, we also played one about t-shirts. It was the weirdest one, man. It's so weird. So you draw something random, and then you write a random phrase. And you do this a couple of times. And then, it's so weird. And then the computer randomly puts these random images with random quotes, and t-shirts come up. So it made a t-shirt with a random drawing and a random quote.
Okay.
And then it's kind of like a tournament of which t-shirt is best. And then it gets down to like a really good t-shirt at the end. They're like, oh, fucking, I would buy this game or this t-shirt. And it has a button where you could fucking order the goddamn t-shirt, dude. Does this make any sense? It's so weird.
This is all part of Fibbage?
No, this is a different game. Okay. I forgot the name of it. Yeah, it was like something with t-shirts in it. And then we played Mad Verse City. And this might be the new Quiplash, man. It is so fun. So it's a rap battle where you're giant robots in a city. It asks you for like a proper noun, and then it gives you a line. It uses that proper noun in a like a rap lyric line, and then you write the next line in the rap. So you're just doing, it's a rap battle, and then you do that again. So it's basically four bars, and then it's head to head. So it'll be like, dude, by this time we're drunk already. T-shirts are off. Everybody's t-shirts are off. And it calls people out. So it'll be like Emilio versus JP Diddy. And people are like, oh shit, this should be good. You know, like, it's like, it was awesome, dude. And then while it's going on, you can like cheer or boo. Like, it was like, oh fuck, that was a really good line. You can cheer and they get bonus points when people cheer or negative when they boo. And then it's a tournament structure where it keeps going until there's a winner. And man, it was fucking awesome, dude. Wow. Oh, and it reads the lines out to you like a computer voice reads the raps out.
For 3 to 8 players, plus an audience of up to 10,000 voting along. Mad Verse City, part of the Jackbox Party Pack 5, coming this fall from Jackbox Games. It looks
like there's
Games,
giant robots, like Transformer-like robots, yeah, that are doing this.
Mm-hmm.
When we were all gone, they turned on each other.
You're going to have to go to a Let's Play.
Go to the spoils.
Oh, here we go.
And don't you forget to take omega-3 oils.
If you got the rhymes, you can survive the battle. But if you fail...
Oh, jeez.
Dude, it's so good. What was it? Oh, Rianne was, she was spouting poetry, dude. Like, it wasn't good. They weren't good insults, but it was just really good raps. I'm like, what the fuck? She was getting a lot of points just for doing, like, good rhyming. And then we figured out they were both stoned out of their heads. So it made a lot more sense. Sniper was the worst, dude. I think he was in last place every time.
So when you guys are doing this, like, it's a whole group of people that are playing, but it pairs you off like 1v1.
And you watch them one by one.
And everybody watches them.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's awesome, dude. It's almost like a spectator and you're in it, and then it's a spectator point on I as well.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And this is all, you can't buy this game individually. You have to buy the Jackbox Party Pack too.
I'm pretty sure I bought Quiplash by itself.
Let's see if we can find Megaverse City on Steam here. Megaverse. Nope, not seeing it. It's probably part. So they got
Madverse City.
Oh, Madverse City. One word, Madverse.
Not sure.
Yeah, I think you got to get the Jackbox Party Pack. There's so many of these, though.
I definitely bought Quiplash on its own.
Yeah, I think Quiplash 1 and 2 you can buy by itself. They're up to Party Pack 6.
You can buy all of them right now for, I think, 1 through 5 for like...
Party Trilogy. $43.
No, there's another one. There it is. No? Whatever. There was one for like $49 that you get 1 through 5.
Yeah. Damn. That's a good investment, though, like if you find yourself in those situations. Those, like the Jackbox Party Pack always delivers.
Well, we're hijacking the whole thing, right? It's supposed to be one computer or one TV and then a bunch of people in a living room playing on their phones. But we're using Discord to stream it so that everybody can play on their phones from home.
But some of them, like Quiplash, that one's designed for people to be able to play on their cell phone.
That's what I'm saying. They all are.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, all of these are.
Okay. Well, it's not like you're hijacking it then. That's like the intended design of the game.
No, but it's supposed to be a shared screen in one living room.
Mm-hmm.
We're hijacking the viewer and audio part of it.
Okay.
That makes sense? Because you can't play just on your phone independent of a screen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Jackbox Party Pack 5 is the one with Madverse City. I think you can get that one for $18.
Hoosier's doing it with Zoom. Yeah, Zoom or Discord. It doesn't matter what you do it with. But yeah, you're hijacking the system that it was intended for. Huh. Good.
Nice.
So much fun. Crying laughing, dude.
Let's see.
Oh, this is one of the raps.
We've got a screenshot from one of the raps from last night.
I can't hear what you say. I'm death to fuck boys. I have a vibrator. I don't need your noise. In the human gene pool, you're a rubber duck. You squeak and squack, and I don't want to fuck. So that goes off. That's like, oh, super good one. And we're like, oh, you know, shit like that. Okay, great. Great.
Oh, man. People don't have rap battles anymore.
They do. It's not as popular as it used to be.
Yeah.
Dude, I got into it for
it's
a while.
I got to rewatch 8 Mile, man. When's the last time you've seen that movie?
I've seen clips recently, and I'm like, fuck, why am I got to watch this again.
Yeah, I got to watch that one again.
Yeah.
I hear that movie referenced so often.
But I've watched over 100 hours of rap battles on YouTube. Like,
really?
Yeah, dude. That's something
I would never do. Like the epic rap battles of history, or like the real... Like the real thing?
No, the real thing.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no thank you, man. I couldn't.
Dude, it's poetry. It really is.
It depends on how good people are, I suppose. It seems like some of that would be pretty
There's a real though. Nerdy guy that won a few years, and I think it was like, I know I might look like I'd win a Pulitzer Prize, but when I pull them surprise, or when I pull them surprise, my something... My bullets, your eyes. That's what it was. I was like, oh my God, that's so good. Did you get it? It's so good.
You butchered
dude.
It a little bit.
I did.
Yeah, God. But there was an MTV show back in the day, and I can't remember what it was called. But one of the episodes was about this kid who really wanted to be a rapper. And it was like this, like this Jewish kid in high school. And so they got the game. Remember?
Okay,
him?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he like met up with him and like tried to like coach him. And it was like, there was no helping this kid, unfortunately. And his like rapper name was like The Wizard or something like that. God, I wish I could find that again.
So Little Dicky, you've heard of him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He came out with a TV show.
Got that show on Hulu now.
Have you seen the reviews on it?
No.
It knocked it out of the park, dude.
Oh, really?
Fuck everybody. I saw the whole scene. It's amazing.
Huh.
It's so good.
You've watched the show?
Yeah, I watched the whole season. It's so good.
Yeah, what's it called? Like
Dave.
Oh, Dave.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very similar to his life. It's like a different version of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, a white guy coming up in the rap game.
Yeah. All right.
There are no Mexican rappers, dude. Very little. There's like... No, not even Fat Joe. Fat Joe is like Puerto Rican. I mean, there are rappers in Mexico.
Yeah, what
reggaeton rappers? But
what about Pitbull? Oh, he's Cuban, right?
Yeah, see, they're all like South Americans.
Yeah,
or island people. We got no rhythm, man.
All right,
all right, and then Lucas says it at the same time. All right, what do we got?
All right. Let's see.
On the radar?
Yeah, I guess that's all we played this week. Yeah, on the radar. So only two games up for this. First one is going to be Hobo Tough Life. And this is, God, I guess it had to happen, right? Like this was eventually going to happen. It is a hobo simulator. Oh, my God. And it looks like it's not... There's a way to do this game, like, I would totally see this game just being kind of, like, joking about it, but this one appears to be taking it completely seriously. Like, you have to, well, let me just read it. Hobo Tough Life is an urban survival role-playing game where you play as a homeless person. Play alone or team up in an online co-op. Explore the streets of Proslav, scavenge for food and supplies, beg, steal, and do whatever else it takes to survive the forthcoming winter. So you're trying to survive the winter. And you can beg, you can steal, you can commit crimes, but then if you do, then like the cops will come after you. Like there's a lot of different mechanics in this game, and it's not kind of like, you know, they have so many of those games that kind of take something that's maybe somewhat of a like touchy or serious subject, but just kind of make it ridiculous or, I don't know, make fun of it a little bit. This appears to be taking it completely serious.
Lottery scratcher.
Yeah,
dude.
That was, the trailer, like my favorite part in the trailer was when he's scratching the lotto thing and he's trying to pick a lock here. A cop sees him and chases him down. So I don't know. It looks like this has all the right mechanics of a good survival game.
Yeah, they're crazy.
Even though I don't like survival games.
What about the reviews? How's that going?
Okay, it's an early access on sale for $16 right now. Normally $20. What are the reviews? Let's see.
I tell you, usually at the top.
Mostly positive. Decent amount of people reviewing this.
72%, 80%.
Decent. And for an early access game, which all these survival games are, they usually have a long way to go, right?
Yeah.
Combat and crime system.
Hats off for you guys taking a fucking risk, man.
In-depth survival mechanics.
Like, he had to go pick up things that he could burn to throw into the trash can. I bet you can't just grab whatever, you know?
What's interesting about it to me is that survival games are often dealing with nature, right? You're out in a forest, you're underwater in Subnautica. There's no urban survival games.
Yeah.
So that's a really clever idea, and I'm glad they went the serious route with it.
Yeah, for sure. This could have easily been a joke. Mm-hmm. Easily.
Yeah, totally. And had it been, like, people would have had a laugh and moved on. You know, the game would have had no staying power. It looks like not a whole lot of people are playing this. 21 playing right now, all-time peak, 250.
I got an idea for you guys if you want to put it in your game. I think you should have to manage your stench. Like, you know, if you really, really stink, you can't, like, interact with people. You're begging. Your money goes down with how much you can panhandle for and stuff. So you have to get a shower sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good mechanic. There you go. Gave you that one for free, guys.
Okay. Next game we have is Foreclosed. Now, this game, somebody had posted it in the Discord and said, hey, it's like 13, but cyberpunk, basically. Mm. So it's a game that is a first-person shooter It's laid out like a comic book. When you shoot a gun, you see the blap, blap, blap pop up in comic book text. There's panels in it, but it's all done in a very futuristic cyberpunk setting.
No reviews yet because it's not out.
Yeah, estimated quarter two 2021.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, it looks good. You know, when I saw some of the combat in action, I'm like, okay, that looks a little janky, like the character motion.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'd give it a shot. I mean, I really did like 13. I thought that was great. But I could see that, I don't know, it would need more than just the snazzy presentation for me, right?
Right, right, right. Yeah, it could go either way. It's too early to tell right now. But good concept. Hopefully they pull it off.
Yeah. No price point on it, but you can wish list it. Foreclosed. All right, cool. Okay, guys, we got a lot of subscriptions here, so let's give a shout out to a few of them. Master Finster, first month, man. Thank you. We need a, like a name, like welcome to the DLGers. Not that though. but yeah, first month, that's awesome. Holcomb, 6 months, half a year. Thank you so much. Who else do we got?
Welcome to the Coven.
The Coven.
It's so underused, I feel like. I mean, it means a nest of vampires, doesn't it?
I don't know. We did come up with a name, the Henchman, but that doesn't, I don't know how that fits us. Like, you know, usually it ties into the name. I do like the idea of the Henchman, like we're the evil bosses here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cricket Soldier, 9 months. Nice.
Captain 9 Gummy. Months?
I feel like it's been more.
Yeah.
Captain Gummy, 11 months. Captain Gummy's got 2 months on you, Cricket.
Burn Division had his shirt off last night. Let's go.
And he's subscribed for 12 months. And Livingston, 2 months, just getting started.
Thanks, guys.
Welcome to the dungeon.
I like that. The Hideout.
The Hideout? I don't know. Well,
this looks like a hideout.
It looks like a dungeon too.
So what else? Henchman.
Secret lair.
Secret lair. That's true. The lair.
The lair.
That's pretty good.
I don't know, but it doesn't tie into anything that we do.
We don't do anything specific. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know.
I drink. You don't.
We're accepting ideas, though. If you guys want to post them in Discord, what you all want to be called.
Livingston, I want you to go home and think about what you just said. DLG Con still going on. We're having a meeting, I guess, next week. Insidious is my hot sauce. Check it out at insidious.com. Insidious with the word C in it, much like Logic with a K. It's very confusing, but it's because it's a hot sauce with a bunch of seeds in it and tastes really, really good. It's a smoky, oily, nutty flavor, and you can put it on just about anything. So check that out at insidious.com. You can use the promo code DLG and get 10% off your entire order.
All right.
Yep.
We got the hole in the wall, the basement, the cellar, two middle-aged dudes talking about video games. That pretty much is us. I mean,
yeah.
How can we parlay that into some sort of
a name? Would be like Access TV. What is it called? Public Access TV?
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Public Access TV.
Welcome to the shit show. Okay. Time for some news.
This the brothel.
The brothel.
The brothel.
The brothel. Oh, gross. All right. First bit of news here. Twitch streamers are going dark on Wednesday to fight for change after allegations of sexual abuse. So a lot of talk lately about some not so good behavior going down with Twitch streamers. I've seen a little bit here and there about some of the specific cases, but there is a lot of it. You know, there's just been this general trend recently.
People speaking up.
Yeah, people speaking up, women, minorities, just everything. It kind of feels like we're cleaning house right now. Like so many people are saying, you know, in light of recent events, like, One example I'll give is the guy who voices Cleveland on Family Guy, not going to voice him anymore because he's white. The character is black. Same thing with Big Mouth. The girl who voices the African-American girl there, not going to do that anymore. Same thing with The Simpsons. You know, that Apu thing has been going on for a while.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that and just like everywhere, people are making changes. Aunt Jemima's gone.
Rightfully so, really.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. Yeah. Like, it's 2020. Let's get with the program. And it's kind of...
Meanwhile, the Redskins are like, fuck you. Yeah,
exactly, dude. What is going on there?
NFL is so staunch, dude. They got all the money. They don't really care.
Yeah.
It's like, which rich white
dude, if NASCAR can do it, then the Redskins can do
totally,
it.
Totally, dude.
If NASCAR can say no more Confederate flags at the races, then the goddamn Redskins can change.
You saw what happened with Bubba Wallace?
No.
So Bubba Wallace is their only black driver, and mm-hmm. they found a noose in his garage recently. Well, yeah, they found it recently, but actually somebody put it.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah. Somebody like planted it.
Somebody there. Planted it.
Not his personal garage, but right. the garage where his car is stored.
I don't right? know, actually. But, well, I think it was at his
the
house.
The picture that I saw, it looked like it was a garage at the racetrack.
Oh,
anyway, somebody
Either
planted
way.
A noose
yeah.
there.
And yeah. So they found that it was from 2019, probably when he started driving or whatever. Anyway, mm-hmm. So then everybody from NASCAR went to the track and walked the track with the cars and the owners and everybody in solidarity with Bubba Wallace, right? And it said, this meme said, the NASCAR has done more for Bubba Wallace in 1 week than the NFL has done for Kaepernick in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, they just don't budge.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to start playing games. I don't know.
Yeah, I saw something for the MLB that they're proposing like a shortened season or something. But yeah, regardless, like there's a lot of cleaning house going on right now, and that is extending into the gaming world here. And there's a lot to clean when it comes to Twitch. Like it is, you know, even though Amazon bought it and has started to kind of give it a bit of a facelift and a better image, I still feel like there's a lot of real shady stuff that goes on Twitch, and a lot of that is coming to light.
So what's going on here? I have no idea. Sniper's been talking about it for months. I mean, for weeks. What's the problem?
So like the case that I'm familiar with was a girl who was in a relationship. She is a streamer. He was a streamer, and they had a very bad relationship where he did a lot of really messed up stuff. And they've gone to Twitch to say like, hey, you need to do something about this. And, you know, because you're giving these people platforms and, you know, they're allowed to carry on the shitty behavior, without any sort of repercussion. And Twitch has kind of dismissed it. They've released some statements recently, especially after there's been so many complaints, but, Twitch has really been hands off with a lot of this stuff. Like they've kind of done a little bit of lip service, but they haven't really cracked down or followed up on a whole lot. And some people are pretty upset about that.
Hmm.
So I don't know. This kind of leads into our next story here. The thing that everybody's talking about, Dr. Disrespect has been banned from Twitch, and we don't know why.
I went down not a rabbit hole. I went to go see if I could find out why, and there literally wasn't.
There's
a lot
no
of
answers
info.
Out there, but there is no shortage of people trying to create content on this with shitty clickbait titles like Dr. Disrespect's wife opens up about the issues, and then all it is like, oh, she stands in support with him.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Nick says he has got the answer. He says that Spotify is going to come out with their own streaming service, and I guess he already was going to sign an exclusive deal with their streaming service, and Twitch found out about it, and it was basically, you know, got him for breach of contract or something. I don't know exactly.
That seems like they possible. Would have told. Yeah, that seems totally possible, but it doesn't seem like something they would need to hide. And it's incredibly insane how tight-lipped everyone has been about this. Like the fact that we still don't know, and this story broke a couple of days ago, is really weird to me, because usually somebody spills the beans, unless it's like something criminal. And if you did that, then you would be like, you know, filed for contempt or something, or get yourself into a whole lot of hot water.
Did you watch the video where like his last
His last 8 minutes.
Yeah.
I couldn't really make, I don't watch his stream normally, so I couldn't really make much sense of any of that.
I didn't really see much. And then I started going in the comments and people were saying, well, this and this, you know, and they actually bookmark minutes. He's like, this is when he gets the text message, and this is when the stream changes. And you could totally see after that point, he actually gets choked up and almost cries after he reads his text message. Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't see that the first playthrough. But yeah,
he's wearing glasses. So yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't really know his face. People were saying like, oh, he turns really red at this point. And like, I can't really tell. But yeah. Either way, it has to be something pretty bad, because it's not only Twitch. Discord has dropped him. A lot of his sponsors has dropped him.
God, I wonder what he did.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
He was talking a lot about David Icke. Who is David Icke? I don't know who he is.
David Icke?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Anyways.
So, I don't know. Just rampant speculation and, you know, it seems like everybody, you know, when you don't know the answer and you try to, like, figure it out and, like, everybody just keeps giving you the same facts. Like, here's what we know. Like, the time he got banned for streaming in the men's room at E3, it's like, okay, we know all that, and it doesn't really shed much light on it.
But. So Sniper says, a lot of the industry gatekeepers are demanding sex in return for clout or VIP access, or threatening the reverse and blacklisting people if they don't fuck them. So kind of, I guess, what was going on with Weinstein, right?
Okay.
People in power, yeah. And people wanting to get into certain positions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, it's what dudes do when they're gatekeepers and creepy fucks. It's been happening forever. Yeah. Well, we got to clear out the, now that it's out in the air, you get rid of the trash and get rid of those kind of people.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yep.
Fucking Athlete A. You see that thing?
Athlete A?
Yeah.
Oh, on Netflix? That documentary. Holy shit. No, I have not seen the documentary. I'll watch it at some point, but it's going to be a difficult watch because I'm familiar with that story, and it is horrendous.
Dude, I saw a video of one of the dads. You know, he's in court, and they're sentencing mm-hmm. the guy, and he's like, as part of the sentencing, can I have 5 minutes alone with him? And some people kind of chuckle or whatever, and she's like, you know, we can't do that. That's not how it works. He's like, can you grant me 1 minute? And then a lot of people chuckle, like thinking, even his daughters that are standing mm-hmm. right there, and they're like, sir, you know, and he goes, then I'll just take it. And he fucking bum rushes the guy, man. Like, mm-hmm. he's so upset with this guy. And obviously the bailiffs all take him down. They pick him up. And then as they're picking up, he's a really calm guy. It's really weird. The mm-hmm. way, he wasn't like raging or anything. He just wanted to kill this guy. And he says to the bailiffs, what if it was your daughters? I was like, oh, Jesus, dude. Yeah. It just fucking got me.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome back to the PC Gaming Podcast.
Yeah, the news section is going to be a little rough.
Wonk, wonk. Wooga, wooga.
Well, our next few stories aren't that bad.
Yeah.
Hopefully next, I don't know, hopefully soon we'll have an answer for all this mysterious stuff that's going on with Dr. Disrespect, but who knows? Yep. I don't know. Next article is Microsoft is shutting down Mixer and partnering with Facebook Gaming. So, Mixer pretty much failed. Yeah. Now the people that did have contracts with Mixer, Shroud, that other guy,
they were welcome to back to Twitch.
Yeah, they're free to do whatever they want. Yeah. I think Shroud has already said that he's going back to Twitch.
Yeah.
Facebook Gaming, I can't imagine this doing much better than Mixer.
It is Facebook. I mean, I don't know. They got so, their user base is so big, it might not even matter.
But is it that's not, I don't see a lot of like the younger crowd or gamers
globally
using
it's
that.
Huge I feel like,
yeah, but it's a lot of old people, you know. It was like young people back when it came out, yeah. And like
when it was cool, it was awesome when it was first came out.
Yeah. So I don't know, I don't really see Facebook Gaming taking off, but yeah, Mixer just wasn't making it, man. They made a big effort and it just wasn't happening.
Yeah. I did you watch anything on Mixer once?
The first time that Ninja had moved over to Mixer, like, yeah. I checked it out just to kind of see what Mixer was all about. And I'm like, it's just Twitch, but it looks a little different.
Yeah.
You know? And then
apparently they had some good ideas, but yeah, not enough to pull it off.
Yeah. That was literally the only time I ever used it.
Yeah, me too. Something like that.
I mean, Twitch has pretty much become unanimous with streaming. It's kind of hard to knock them out or even take a piece away from them. All right, last article. The Steam Points are Valve's new loyalty and reward system. So this ties in with the Steam Summer Sale. Valve has put forth this new reward system, this point system, where you can now earn points by either, one, buying games. So for every dollar you spend buying a game, you get 100 points, 100 Steam Points. You can also earn reward points if you write a review or you make something in a Steam Workshop and people just say like, hey, that's really cool, tip them 100 points.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the other way you can earn points. The way that you can spend these points, you go to the Steam shop and you can buy backgrounds. You can buy a border for your profile icon. You can buy stickers, which you can use in chats, little animated stickers. And you can buy... This is really going to change the value of a lot of items in the Steam marketplace.
Especially the older stuff, right?
Yeah, I think the older stuff. I think it's all going to drop because you used to have to craft cards and then you had a chance of getting an emoticon or a background for the game whose cards you crafted. Or you could go to the Steam market and you can buy that for whatever the going rate was. You know, it's an open market. But now what you can do with these Steam points, you can just say, I want this specific background from Deep Rock Galactic. That's the one I want. I don't want to like open a pack and randomly get it. I don't want to have to like go buy it for market value if it's like really rare. I can just get it for...
And they look great. They look better than the old ones, I feel like. Well, some of them are animated.
You're talking about the new ones.
Yeah, the new ones.
The new backgrounds you can get. And that's another thing that's going to drive down the prices of all the old backgrounds and emoticons. Now that Steam has this new layout and it supports HTML5 and there's all these moving animated things that they can do, a lot of these new backgrounds and new like borders for your profile, they're moving. Like there's an electric one that buzzes around your profile and they look really cool. So of course, dude, once I saw that, I'm like, oh, literally everything else is obsolete. Like nobody wants any other
background. Good thing you sold everything last year, right?
A few years ago. Yeah. I sold my entire Steam inventory and I made
How'd you know this was
going to
happen,
bucks.
Dude? That sounds like, that sounds like a little insider trading.
Oh God. Well, you know what sucks now is there's some items that you can get because they did have this thing where you could get certain icons with points like in their last like winter sale. And I got a few of them accidentally and you cannot sell them. You cannot turn them into gems. You can't get rid of them. They're just stuck in your inventory. Mm. I don't know. It bothers me for some stupid reason. But yeah. So let me see if I can pull up some of these so you can see what they look like. I've already seen people spending these because apparently it was retroactive, like any purchases you made during the last sale recently. So you can check and see how much, how many Steam points you have.
Can you only get these points during sales, you think?
No, this is going to be like this from now on.
Oh, gotcha.
This is like a permanent fixture. They announced it during the Steam summer sale, but from now on, anytime you buy something from the shop or you get tipped because of a review, then you can spend these points. So here we go. Here are the borders right here. Like that blue one, got to get that one. Although the pink one looks good with my avatar. Yeah. 2,000 points for those ones. These are some of the, animated stickers, I think. Yeah. Those look kind of cool.
So the stickers are just things you send in chat.
Yeah. You just use them in chat.
Which I hardly ever use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, like I used to have thousands of emoticons, never used any of them. I sold all of them except my thumbs up one.
Yeah.
These are some of the mini profiles. So when you hover over someone's avatar, it pops up with just like their mini profile. And you can get these backgrounds here for that. And of course, they have the backgrounds for the
for your profile.
Big ones as well.
Yeah. Which are only 2,000. I'm surprised.
Yeah, 2,000, which is $20.
Yeah. And more games are going to start supporting this too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the idea that you can tip people for reviews and for workshop content. I like the idea of encouraging people to be active in the community. I wish there were other ways where you could earn points by being active in the community. Like, I don't know, like what other parts of like the social side of Steam are there?
Yeah, I don't know. Adding another currency, though, I hope fucking some shady shit doesn't start happening. You know what I mean? It's kind of like...
I don't think there's any way you can transfer these between accounts. Tipping,
right?
Well, yeah, you could.
Depends if there's a limit on tipping, how much you can tip somebody in a given time.
Maybe that's why they limit the ways that you can get them so much. Because, well, I don't know. I guess I could make... No, because then my other account would have to have points that I could then tip. So, either way, the only way to get points into the system are
from
buying games. Yeah. And then on, like, it's just a transfer ship of points with the other way.
I thought for sure. Well, to click on items from games, that's another thing. So they're giving you stuff from CSGO and stuff like that.
Oh, you have to sign in.
Yeah, you can get like crates for CSGO and stuff like that.
Oh, really? You can get crates?
Because I don't know if it was crates.
Well, from the items from games, that's the stuff you could already get through card packs or the Steam market. That's backgrounds and emoticons
for the
different games.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought for sure this was going to be like a cashback reward from like a credit card. I thought you were going to just be able to buy games with this stuff.
No.
Which would have been nice.
That would be nice. Yeah. Steam needs to make their own credit card.
They do. I was thinking about that. Why haven't they done that?
Yeah. All right. That's it for news. Time for some listener questions.
Or Bobby tries a Mexican.
Okay. We're going to do that now?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's try it out.
This week we've got... let me drink some water here. We've got what appears... It's called Aldama.
Mm-hmm.
That's what these are called.
Mm-hmm.
Oblia con cohete.
Cohete.
Cohete?
Uh-huh.
Even though it ends in an A?
Cohete? Maybe. Cohete. Maybe.
Cajeta.
I'm not the best Spanish leche. Speaker.
So that's... Oblia is dessert, right?
I don't know.
That's like a treat? What's
that's not how we call it.
Okay.
I don't know what oblete is either.
Here, you read it, man.
Well, it says milk candy wafer, dude.
Yeah, leche, that's milk.
Yeah. Oblea con cajeta de leche. So it's, I believe, caramel, like a milk caramel. I don't know.
Okay. And it looks like the way it's wrapped reminds me strangely of that Taco Bell thing.
Oh, the Crunchwrap Supreme.
The Crunchwrap Supreme, dude.
I love those, dude.
Eat those all the time.
They're so good.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I would order them with no tomatoes, though. But yeah, they fucking love those.
The Crunchwrap Supreme. Okay. Yeah, maybe we should put on some music for this.
Did we have it already? We have it ready to go? What happens, Mariachi movie?
Oh, wait. Does he have... Is that linked? No, it's just under it.
What's a quintessential?
La Cucaracha.
Oh, a La Bamba. Either one. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
No, let's see. No,
no, this is some background bullshit, man. There we go. Winner. Si, senor.
Oh, God. My dad had records kind of like this because he was a real big fan of Rafael Mendez. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. Mm. Famous trumpeteer. He could play a trumpet and make it sound like multiple trumpets were being played.
Damn.
But he had these records because my dad...
You eat everything.
Okay, yeah. I thought it was a wrapping.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's like a wafer.
It's like a wafer, yeah.
Okay.
So there's a wafer on top and there's a wafer underneath and inside. It's kind of like dulce de leche or caramel. It's actually super good, man. I really like these. It almost got too sweet. I got towards the end of it and I was like, this is too much sugar.
This tastes just like... It doesn't taste like a lot of the other Mexican candies. This tastes like...
I'm genetically predisposed to enjoy this music, guys.
It reminds me of when I just had AM radio in my car. It was Radio Disney and this, pretty much.
Trumpets were brought... Was it trumpets? No, the accordion, which is used a lot in Mexican music, came over when there was German miners working in Mexico, like in the 30s or something. And it just fucking spread like wildfire.
They loved it.
They loved it.
Now, isn't cajon... a type of musical instrument?
It means box.
Well, I know it means box, because the town I'm from is called El Cajon, and I've heard it meant box, but nobody calls, like, boxes that. Like, if you were to say, like, hey, there's a box, you wouldn't call it a cajon, right?
Una caja, yeah.
A caja, okay.
Yeah, so a cajon, I don't know exactly.
Because what I've heard is that
it's a... piece of that.
Yeah, it's...
It's good, right?
Mm-hmm. This is good. It doesn't taste... like the other candies, though. This tastes like the candy apple sucker treat, but without the green apple part.
Right. Like you're eating the caramel from the outside.
Yeah, just straight up caramel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And the wafer almost acts like just so you don't get your finger sticks.
Mm-hmm. I'm failing at it. It's all over my fingers.
It adds no flavor or texture, really, because it dissolves so quickly, but it's you don't get your fingers. It's like it comes with its own wrappers that you can eat.
Which is smart, and I wish more foods would do that.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like a burrito.
Well, it's like a contrast to a burrito.
Oh, God. Here, help so me out good. With this. This one's good, but I don't know. Doesn't have the...
Let's take a look at what it looks like.
I kind of like the... I mean, this, if I didn't see the wrapper, I wouldn't know this was Mexican candy. Mm-hmm.
You think it's like a Jewish candy or something? Some weird shit.
Yeah, I don't know.
From a Baltic state.
Yeah. But you're right. The wafer actually adds a lot to it.
We're going to get pulled off of YouTube for playing this.
Yeah. All right. Sticky fingers. It's kind of tough with this mouse.
The sticker... Welcome to the Sticky Fingers Club. How about that?
The Sticky the Sticky Bandits. Home Alone 2, anybody? All right. Listener questions.
The Wet Bandits.
Wet Bandits in the first one, Sticky Bandits in the second one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because remember he had that glove and he walks up to that Santa Claus. The details of the Home Alone series. Okay. First question coming from Captain Gummy. Compare cons and pros from the Oculus Rift versus the Steam Index.
So you wouldn't get the Oculus Rift. That was the first iteration from the Oculus.
What's the newest one?
The Quest. And it's a stellar piece of equipment. It's rated 9 out of 10 almost everywhere you look. It's half the price. And it's standalone. So all the hardware that you need to run the games is in the headset. So no wires.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a million things. Oh, and it has situational awareness through sensors and cameras that are facing outwards so you don't run into walls, as opposed to the Index that uses towers, which could be cumbersome, especially if you want to take it somewhere. You know, you have to wrap everything up and it takes 20 minutes to put that thing away. The Quest, you could just... put it in a duffel bag and just go. Battery life is an issue. I believe you can get an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours out of it, which is a lot of time in VR anyway.
Yeah.
You could also play it with it connected, I believe. It's got limited storage. I believe you can upgrade the storage. But you can have this, I believe through the Quest store, or the Oculus store, you can swap things out pretty quickly. There's like an app where you can like add things to the hard drive and take things off like pretty quickly, like an interface, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the downside is you can't play Valve games without a third-party application, which I don't know how heavy that application is or how light it is, but you know, it's just an extra step, and also... I lost you.
Yeah, I lost
you
too.
You got me still?
Yeah.
Okay. What was I saying? So that's a problem because if the game gets updated and now it's not compatible with this this version of whatever that
check,
is.
There check, you go. Check. Okay.
Yeah. You constantly have to keep that third party thing updated, and it's just a pain.
Well, it was
it could be a pain. Yeah, it's like a hack.
Like somebody came up with it, and it wasn't... Yeah. I mean, it's fine to use that, but it kind of sucks because then you have to like do a lot of
maintenance.
Problem solving and fixing.
It might be great. It might be fucking super low weight, and it just works. Who knows? But that's the big problem with that one. And then
for the Quest, but the Quest is a lot cheaper as well.
Yeah, it's like half the price.
Yeah, $500 for the 128 gig. But don't they have one that's not the standalone? That's still like a high-end VR kit?
Yeah, there's the Oculus. But either way, even it's not as good as this Quest. Even though it's even though it's a plug-in. Because the Quest is the newest one. This is the one Carmack worked on before he left them.
Mm-hmm.
So he blessed them with his brilliance.
The Rift S?
Yeah, the Rift S. That's the other one. But apparently it can't hold a candle to the Quest.
Okay. And it's out of stock.
Yep, so there you go. Fucking everything's out of stock.
$400?
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. We're getting the Index, so
Index is, I believe, the best thing you can get that's out there right now. HTC has that other one coming out.
Yeah, that Reverb G2.
Yeah, and it has the highest resolution on the market, the G2. But let's again not get into that. You can basically say that the Index is the best overall one, mm-hmm. but you get a huge price tag.
Yeah,
you've got the towers, which I'm not a fan of, but in order to get the best tracking, that's the best tracking you can get. That's what you have to do. So you set up the towers. The best I've heard that their knuckle controllers are the best controllers out there. Mm-hmm. Everybody raves about those because you have individual digit tracking. Yeah. So yeah, just the amount that you could do. Imagine using a keyboard in a game, a virtual keyboard, and it works. Like,
yeah,
it's fucking crazy. It comes with Half-Life Alyx, which is probably the highest rated VR game of all time. And it just comes with all the games on Steam. You can play VR for 50 hours on just free games that are on Steam.
Yeah, I really don't like the idea of the closed ecosystem that Oculus is trying to
do. They tried opening it up. I forgot what happened with that. They said that you were going to be able to be cross-platform. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I don't know. All right. Next question from Neo Reloaded. Do you think Cyberpunk 2077 is the most hyped game in history across all platforms? If not, what do you think is or has been?
I wasn't listening. I'm sorry, dude. I was reading Warconius. I like this segment as a lot of social good. It brings the Latino and robot culture closer together. Sorry. Okay. Do you think Cyberpunk 2077 is the most hyped game in history across all platforms? If not, what do you think it has been?
I don't know
how the console people are looking at it.
It might be really hyped, but the thing is that we have been hyped for it for so long, it's kind of diluted the hype.
I feel like that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we're all like just, you know, bowled over by it when it was first announced, when Keanu came out on stage, like we found out he was in the game. I mean, it's kind of settled down since then. And even now that it's been delayed again, people are just kind of like, oh, okay, whatever.
Well,
but I'm sure when it comes out, you know, people are going to be just as ecstatic. So
there's a new bump in hypeness right now because, you know, one guy played 6 hours straight from beginning to 6 hour point.
Oh yeah.
And he wrote a huge long article. He's been interviewed by everybody and there's a whole lot of new information. And he likes it a lot.
Yeah.
So that's a good.
Yeah. And that's it's a very long but interesting article to read. And just the freedom in that game, like the amount of choices and decisions and like how open the design of that game is, was really, really impressive.
I liked the PC Gamer interview with him because they were asking questions that like that article didn't cover. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I really like one of the questions where he's like, is it like when you were playing Oblivion for the first time and you saw a point on a mountain and you're like, can I go get to that point? You know, that was huge back then, like Skyrim, like so open world that you can get to anything that you could see. And he's like, yeah, I would see a point on a building in town and I would be able to get to that apartment or whatever it was. He's like, yeah, you have total freedom like that. And I was kind of shocked that there's like a deserty old lo-fi town that's part of the game too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know they said that the map may not be as big as Witcher, but they're going to have buildings that just have so much area in them. There's going to be a lot more verticality in it basically.
Yeah.
So it actually technically is bigger.
Content-wise also.
Yeah, but just not as, like, spread out.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What's, like, the biggest hyped game that you can imagine or that you can think of in recent history? I know Diablo 3 was,
Diablo
like...
Diablo 3 was pretty big.
Super hyped and sold a ton of copies and kind of bit them in the butt, though, because the servers wouldn't work.
I don't remember how... I guess it wasn't that big. Doom 2016... had some, but not that level.
It was pretty hyped, but I don't know. I don't feel like we get as hyped for stuff as much anymore because they're really trying to, every single game that comes out, they're trying to shove the hype on you.
Yeah.
And we're just kind of used to it now. I feel like back in the past, it happened a little more naturally.
I like how CD Projekt Red was like, you know, if you buy it for your PlayStation 4, you automatically get it for your PlayStation 5. Mm-hmm. And it said, the meme that I saw is like other game companies are like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Duke Nukem Forever always comes up. It had spikes of.
Yeah.
When that first got announced, dude, that was huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. StarCraft 2, a lot of Blizzard games were really hyped.
Yeah.
StarCraft 2 is pretty big. But I don't know. I feel like. Yeah, No Man's Sky, pretty ridiculous. But I don't know, because a lot of times we judge the hype on the delivery, too. Like, we all remember how hyped we were for No Man's Sky because of how much of a letdown that was when it came out. And I think Cyberpunk 2077 actually is going to deliver, though. I think that's the crazy thing. Wow. Like, it is really hyped, but I think it's also going to meet those expectations.
Gosh, somebody was talking about how, like, it started with a meme on Discord about how, like, they turned out good. They began great, and then they, game companies, the longer they're around, the more evil they seem to become, you know? So, like, it happened to Bethesda. You love them, and now you're like, I don't know, Blizzard. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, how long does it take CD Projekt Red to, you know, jump the shark, if you will? But I don't think they will, man. They seem like a really passionate group. I don't know how they keep making these huge games and keeping it.
Well, there have been some articles about them, about like the crunch that goes on there, which seems to happen to all these big organizations. But yeah, I mean, they do have a commitment to quality and to the customer that a lot of companies their size or developers their size don't have.
Yeah.
And
they remind me of Larian in that way. Like, they just seem. Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Larian's a smaller studio.
No, much smaller.
And maybe CD Projekt Red is as well. I mean, they really. Dude, think about how many games does CD Projekt Red make? Like, three?
Like, three?
Yeah. Like, not.
Maybe
not
four with Gwent, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next question from Jiro Trom. Not a gaming question, but a movie question. Are you guys pumped for Michael Keaton reprising his role as Bruce Wayne?
I didn't even hear about that.
Oh, you didn't hear about that?
No, what is
it? Okay. I mean, that's pretty much it.
But in what form?
I haven't read up too much on it.
Oh, The Dark Knight, probably, right? So The Dark Knight was Frank Miller's take on Batman, like in his 50s or 60s.
Well, let's see if I can pull up a little bit more information, because I have heard this and I've seen some tweets about it, but I haven't really looked too deep into it. Not a big superhero comic book fan. But it is, it does seem kind of weird, especially after, that Birdman movie, but I don't know. I'm open to it.
Didn't we just say that, fucking what's his name's going to be Batman? The guy,
Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's in The Flash. This sounds right. Which.
Oh. On the TV show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's like a cameo. Or maybe he'll be in for the whole season. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And The Flash is a very popular show. Which yeah, I have not seen any of.
I have not seen any of it.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think that's kind of cool, but I'm not super into superhero movies. My favorite Batman movie is still Batman Forever, so, you know, that tells you where I'm at with, with the Batman series. Oh, R.I.P. Joel Schumacher, by the way. That's tragic. Hmm. I don't know. We're going to bring back, what's his name is the Joker?
Dude, he hasn't even been in the news in like 10 years.
Yeah.
He must be so old.
Jack Nicholson?
Yeah.
Well, I think he's got... health issues because he everybody used to does, always
dude. He's 90.
A lot of these people are still acting though, and you know, he was a really good, if you look at Jack Nicholson's body of work, like incredible.
Yeah.
But I you know, he used to always go to, I think, like Knicks games or something. Like there was some basketball team that he was always there,
always had
court-sized seats. And ever since he kind of disappeared from the movies, he also stopped, you know, you'd still see him there, but then he stopped showing up at those games. So I don't know, it seems like. I read an interview with Angelica Houston when the new John Wick movie came out, and they asked her about Jack Nicholson. He said, oh, it's just because he hasn't been offered interesting roles. It's probably why he's not coming back. But I don't know. I kind of feel like
how many roles are there for 90-year-olds?
You'd be surprised.
Clint Eastwood was the only one I can think of in The Mule.
Well, he directs himself, yeah. So he throws himself in there. But yeah, there's a lot of like old actors from that era still kind of doing things. But a lot of them... Dude, okay, Lakers. Yeah, that's right. He's always at the Lakers game. But dude, they did. Okay, they were stars in the 70s, dude. You have any idea how much drugs they did? These guys. That's why most of them died when they were like 70. You know?
Who is your favorite actor and who is the greatest actor of all time?
Is this a listener question or you just?
No, I'm just asking.
Okay.
You.
I don't know if I could pick a favorite actor, because even though like there's actors that I feel very fondly of, like Robin Williams, like when he died, like that, like hurt me emotionally. And mm-hmm. I've never had that with like, you know, a famous person dies and you know, you see people like, oh, I cried because this person, like, yeah, you didn't even know him. But when Robin Williams died, and especially the way he died, like I was hurt by that.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoyed his movies as a child with my parents and, you know, kind of grew up on that. So it's like, I don't know, you know, he almost felt like very personal to me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, would I say he's the greatest actor out there? Probably not. I mean, if I were to say like based on talent alone, I don't know, Meryl Streep, Gary Oldman. What's the guy who played Batman for a bit?
Val Kilmer?
No, the other one. Val Kilmer, no.
Oh.
Chris, he was in Equilibrium. Chat, help me out here. He was in Empire of the Sun as a kid. He's in Newsies. Ben Kingsley, no. Ben Kingsley is a great actor, though. That's a good call. He's fantastic. But then he also...
Leo's great.
Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah. I mean, he is now, but I don't know.
Back then.
He
was good in Family Matters or whatever that was. Family Ties? Family Pains? What is it called? Growing Pains?
Growing Pains?
Yeah.
Okay. Harrison Ford. It's going to drive me crazy that I can't think of... he was in the Ford v. Ferrari.
I don't know who you're talking about.
He yelled at that guy on the set of that Terminator movie.
Yeah, Christian Bale.
Christian Bale. Thank you. Jeez. Yeah. God, dude, it's amazing. Like, you just have these blind spots in your brain sometimes. Yeah, that guy's a phenomenal actor.
Everybody always says the guy who plays Lincoln. What's that guy's name?
Oh, the guy that's super method.
Yeah.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Like, and crazy method. Like, all his co-stars will say, like, he refuses to get out of a wheelchair, like, even between takes or, like... they're going to do lunch and he's like, oh, I can't eat that because my character wouldn't. Yeah.
There's one clip I think ever of him breaking character. He like started laughing during a
show. Oh, really?
Something with a little girl.
That must be weird. It's so weird to see those people like accept awards because they're like, oh my God, that's them. But then again, they're probably putting on some persona for that as well.
He retired now.
Yeah. It was probably very stressful doing what he did.
Yeah. Becoming other people completely.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Who's your favorite actor?
For the longest time, it was... it's weird to say, but that the pedophile guy or whatever he got in trouble for.
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, Kevin Spacey.
Really?
I really liked his work for a long time.
He did do some great work.
Yeah.
What's his name? He's got to be so happy that like all that shit came out right after Baby Driver.
Oh yeah.
That would have just tanked that movie. And I remember I watched that movie when I was on vacation in Seattle and I loved that movie. Mm-hmm. I thought he was great in it. American or what was that one around 2000? Won an Academy Award. Girl coming out of the swimming pool, the roses. Oh,
American
Dream. I want to say American Dream, but
no, it has America in it. Beautiful America. Fuck.
Kevin Spacey.
God damn it. That was a great movie.
American Beauty.
American Beauty, yeah.
There we go.
With the camera with the bag flying around.
God. The amount of times that shit got parodied.
Yeah.
Usual Suspects. Yeah, dude, that guy's... Isn't it crazy? Okay, so Usual Suspects, and then the director of that movie, same deal, dude. Gets caught up for the same stuff. What was his name? Bryan Singer.
Recently, the guy who's really been impressing me is, he was in The Revenant, but he wasn't Leo, the other guy. He's in everything right now.
The bad guy?
Yeah.
In that, I don't know what his name is, but I feel like in general, because I watch, you know, I watch a lot of movies, but most of the movies I watch are, I watch a lot of older movies.
Yeah.
And I think any way you go about it, if you watch a lot of movies, you're going to do that because there's just more older movies than there are newer movies. But
Hardy.
Tom Hardy. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I really like Tom Hardy right now.
Yeah. But acting in general, I feel like has gotten a lot better. Like the bar is a lot higher.
Everything's better than it used to be, dude. That's what I keep trying to tell you.
Nah,
I think.
That no.
They, how could it not be?
No, I mean everything because people, video games and movies alike, it's there's more of an emphasis on what makes money. So I don't know if you're like if you like kind of the big blockbusters and like what sells the movie tickets and stuff. But dude, if you watch a lot of movies, like eventually the new stuff, it's kind of tough too because you don't have any distance from it, so it's hard to really judge the movie. Mm. But yeah,
well, it's hard for me to say because I don't watch these old movies, so I can't really compare. But
dude, there's some fantastic. Dude, there are movies out there that are old, like Treasure of Sierra Madre is one that I always go to because it's in black and white. It came out in like the 40s, and it is such a good movie that you could show it to like anyone who's just grown up on like popcorn blockbusters, and they'd probably still enjoy it. I mean, the acting.
Why hasn't it been remade?
It kind of, it's one of those movies that has its seed in a lot of other movies. Mm-hmm. 'Cause the movie is about a bunch of guys who, they're poor, they're broke. They're always working for other people, like doing manual labor and getting ripped off. And it takes place down in Mexico and they start talking to each other and they said, you know, the real money's at like, you know, finding your own gold. And so they say, okay, the three of us, we're going to go out, we're going to get gold. And it's you know, the Wild West. You don't like tell anybody what you're doing. 'Cause then like they'll shoot you in the back and take your stuff. So they devise this whole plan to go out there to find this gold. And like all this stuff happens while they're doing it. And they end up turning on each other. So, and for the 40s, that's like, you didn't see a lot of like dark movies like that. Mm-hmm. But that whole idea of like, you know, this group of people and then they turn on each other.
So many times now.
Yeah, that's kind of blossomed into a lot of other movies. So even though it hasn't been directly remade, I feel like it's, it you still it. See it out there.
Right.
All right.
What else we got?
Next listener question from Warconius. What really grinds your gears?
Not a whole lot of stuff bothers me. Bobby, go ahead. You probably have a fucking million.
Oh God. I don't know. Weird things bother me. Weird things. Like people who take too long to get out of cars.
Not being able to delete certain items in your Steam.
Yeah. My library. Steam inventory.
Yeah. What really bothers me? Fuck man. I don't know. I'm sure something does. Doesn't happen very
that's
often.
That's probably a good sign that you can't think of it.
Yeah. Most things don't matter to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably better. I think as you get older, it's a lot easier to shuffle off things too, you know, just not get so bothered by things. Yeah, I don't know, man. Nothing bothers us. Next question from Warconius. What's the best space exploration game on PC?
Jeez, I wish I could tell you, man. I was watching Captain Gummy playing one of them. The one.
It's Star like, Citizen?
No, the other one. The other big one. Where
Ever?
No. Fuck.
Elite Dangerous.
Yes.
It started with an E.
Man, I'm looking at the fucking layout and I'm like, this would be how a spaceship would be in the future. Like, absolutely. They fucking nailed it. It looks fantastic. Apparently you can go to planets and get out of your fucking thing and drive around a rover already. But what he said, what the trailer showed was they were carrying guns. So I think they're going to add combat and like, like things to fight against.
And that one really built itself on the whole VR thing, but you don't have to have VR to play that game, right?
No, but when he was streaming it, it looked like he was, I was like, are you in VR? Because it's almost like a loose camera. There's a lot of like head sway with inside the cockpit. So I don't know if he's controlling something for his head independently of the ship turning, but it looked like his head was
like
on
a free
swivel.
Look.
Yeah. But dude, it looks fucking phenomenal. And this is one of these games that has a ton of, momentum. They just keep building and building and building.
Well, there's some relationship between that and Star Citizen, right?
I don't think so. No.
I thought there was.
No, but it's almost like this is becoming Star Citizen, you know? But they have an advantage because they're already an up-and-running game. I know everybody says that Star Citizen is already an up-and-running game, but I don't know one person that plays... Oh, what do you play? I play Star Citizen. Nope. Never met that guy.
Yeah, there's some of them out there. Space Sim, Pulsar Lost Colony, man. I've been meaning to go back to that game, but I just haven't had the time, but I really enjoy that game.
My favorite personally is Everspace, but that's just because that's the only one I've ever really played.
The roguelike?
Yeah.
and there's that sequel coming out.
I have the demo downloaded. I just haven't played it. I'll probably play it next week. I also played that game that I said that I was going to play last week. I forget the name of it. Crawl something. But anyway, I'll talk about it next week.
Okay. Question from Omerta. Dogs or cats?
I was always pro dog all my life, and really, I was like, I fucking hate cats. And then I moved into this house, and they had the baddest ass cat I've ever met. You know, one of these cats that prowls the neighborhood, kills things, and leaves their heads on your doormat, like that kind of cat. And he's like, she's like 14 or 15, and just like, all the neighbors know her. It's just kind of like that kind of cool cat, you know, and she's calico, which is like one of the coolest, like, prints, I think. And she's just a badass. And then, you know, she only comes home every 4 days just to eat and get some water and then fucking back out on the hunt. Badass. And just, you know, really lovable.
Surprised she hasn't gotten eaten up by a coyote yet.
She's super smart, man. This family, man, they just buy cats, and if they get eaten, they get eaten. If they don't, they don't. But these cats that we have now, these kittens, we're trying to raise them as indoors because...
Oh, so you don't let them outside.
We've lost like three cats in a row.
Yeah, well, I don't... Did I lose my mic again?
No, you're good.
Okay. Yeah, dude, at a certain age, I don't think you can really let them outside, especially in a dangerous habitat, because kittens are pretty stupid.
Yeah. Oh, here's an interesting thing. Saw rat droppings in my garage, and now I have to... Well, I have rat traps. I'm going to set them up tonight. But I'm like, oh, I have cats. Should I let the cats loose in the garage and let them exterminate? It'd be fun for them and it'll help me out. But they're kittens. They're like 5 months old, 6 months old. They're definitely bigger than a rat. But I'm like, I don't know if it's time to do gladiator battles in my fucking garage. You know what I mean? They're definitely big enough.
Well, plus with, I don't know, so a lot of times they wouldn't eat the rat. You know, they just want to catch it and play with it.
No, they want to kill them.
But I know with, when I had that snake, like, you can't feed them just like any old rat that you find because of the diseases.
Oh, it's not for rat. I mean, they just kill them. They don't eat them. They might nibble at them, but like, she would just bring us heads usually, or like, it'll be a body without a head. So she wasn't eating them. They just like to kill shit.
Yeah.
I think they kill 4 billion creatures a year in the United States, including like birds, ground nesting birds, all kinds of shit. Cats are just out there murdering everything, dude. Do you know that there's it's open season in Australia to kill cats? The government gives you a certain amount of money for each cat you kill because they decimate the population of everything out there.
Really?
So you can be a cat hunter. And that could be your job.
Yeah, that seems
a lot of them.
Weird.
Yeah, it's super weird. On their hunting magazines, there's people just holding up fucking house cats, dude. It's fucking weird as shit.
Let's see. At what age can cats start hunting rats? 6 weeks.
Damn.
Okay.
They're like 5 months old.
Yeah, 6 weeks. That's like, that's pretty early.
They beat the shit out of each other, dude. There's two brothers, and they ambush each other all day. Like one's hiding around the corner, just like straight up ambushes. The other one's just fucking walking by, then boom, and then both rolling. It's awesome.
Oh, man. Yeah.
What about dogs?
Still dogs?
Yeah. Somebody brought over a puppy today, and I was just like, oh, this is so fucking cool. I like them so much more than cats.
I don't know. I'll still take cats, man. Like, kittens are fun, and they're cute, and everybody loves kittens, but, dude, I like the old fat cat that just lays around. Keeps quiet, doesn't really bother you, comes and hangs out when you're watching TV. I don't know. I guess you can get a dog like that too, but I feel like dogs are just so...
A lot more work.
Yeah, they're a lot more work. You got to take them out, you got to walk them, you got to play with them, you got to clean up after them. Yeah, I don't know.
I know dogs are technically smarter. Well, I'm pretty sure they are, but like...
You can train them a lot easier.
Cats definitely act smarter. They're just like, they got their own thing.
They're very much more independent. Like a dog you can train, and a dog is much more of a companion. Like cats are just like, whatever, kind of do my own thing. Although if you get a certain breed of cat, like my girlfriend has a Bombay, and that thing is like her shadow. It follows her around. It meows at her when it's bedtime. It meows at her when it's like time to eat. Like if she forgets to feed them, like it's all up in her face. Like I've never seen a cat like that, but apparently Bombays are like all black. Cats, like all black, kind of like the wide, kind of a wider head. But
I YouTube rabbit holes. I really got into Savannah Cats for a while. That is an African serval mixed mm-hmm. with an American house cat. And it just makes this, like, supposedly fantastic pet. It's like a cat that will play fetch. You walk it on a leash. Like, wow. It's like a dog. Have you seen one, dude?
I think I have.
They're like $4,000. It depends what generation you get. You mm-hmm. get the first generation, it's like $5,000 or $7,000.
I had a coworker who had exotic animals, and she had servals. They would always try to escape, though. Eventually, one of them got away.
Shit.
Yeah, well, you can see them at the zoo here, but yeah, servals have that giant hind leg. Like, they're always, front is always hunched over, but they can leap really high.
So Sniper's saying that the mom has to teach him how to make killing blows. They will, like, attack and... but they don't know until the mom brings them. But I don't know, dude, because when they're fighting each other, they're biting at each other's, like, necks. That's where they go. They don't bite for real, but that's how they play. They're going for the neck every time.
Huh. All right, next question from M. Pilaf. What are y'all doing for 4th of July?
It's also my birthday, and so it's always my birthday is always weird because almost everyone's always out of town because they go... places.
Yeah.
But this time, nobody's going anywhere. So we're going to have a small get-together here. Bobby, you can come over and have some more of this if you want.
Right.
But it is a gathering, and some people are weird about gatherings right now.
It falls on a Saturday this year, right?
My birthday's the 3rd, actually. But
Usually so celebrate it.
I'm going to have some people over here on Friday. I'll probably take Friday off this week.
Okay. Yeah, man, it's kind of nice that it ends on it comes on a Saturday this year. I don't think I had any plans, but nobody's really making plans.
Nobody's really making, and everything's spiking again, and so fucking, who knows what the fuck's going on, man.
I mean,
flights are $35, dude. What the fuck?
Jeez. Yeah, dude, but you know, whenever I drive by the beach, packed, dude. Yeah. Just everybody's out there. It's probably why things are spiking.
Yeah. You nailed it. It wasn't really going down, but we're acting like it's going down.
Yeah. Next question from the Livingston. What are your theories on what Dr. Disrespect did?
Well, I guess I'll go with the... I think it's something contractual, but you also said that other places dropped him, so that would mean he did something bad.
Yeah, like Discord dropped him, and his, like, something, some sort of, like, supplement, G Fuel or whatever, dropped him as well.
Holy shit. That's, like, real bad.
Yeah.
But his wife is staying with him, so it's not adultery again.
I know she stayed with him when it was adultery.
Yeah,
it was just adultery, I feel like that, I mean, that came out last time.
Okay.
I feel like it has to be something criminal, because otherwise people would have no repercussion for saying something. If it was something like criminal and like somebody came and blabbed about what it was, then like they could be held liable for something and then they could be charged with something and that's why they're not doing it. So it's,
I mean, not tax evasion. Like, you don't lose contracts.
Was he ever hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein? Epstein?
I don't know, man.
Did he visit?
Yeah, you're right, dude. It probably sounds like something illegal.
Yeah, it's got to be something criminal.
Can't be plagiarism. I don't know. It feels like it's plagiarism, but it can't be that. He hasn't wrote a book. I don't know.
Controlled Pairs, thank you very much. 12 months, man. One year.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Welcome to the henchmen again. Welcome back.
The shit show is so good, dude. I want to change the whole the name of the show to the shit show. I think it's great.
The PC gaming shit show.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Okay, another question from the Livingston. If you had to choose a Bloody Mary mix other than Zing Zang, what would you recommend?
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, man.
Dude, okay. So, I mean, I don't drink anymore, so I can't really weigh in on that. But I remember Bloody Mary's. I never liked them, but what I did like about them was that they were always different. No matter where you go, you order a Bloody Mary, like everybody does it a little differently.
Yeah.
There's no like...
They pull out that red bottle from underneath. It's pre-mixed, but it's pre-mixed by them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's like a homebrew.
Yeah. And everybody's got their own recipe for it. There's no like set ingredients for it. Some people put celery in it. Some people put pepper in it. Some people put a lot. Some people put a little. Like, you never know what you're going to get with a Bloody Mary.
There is like Watchtower 16 or something down in Pacific Beach. The restaurant is called Tower 17, I think.
Okay.
Anyway, they have like a $19 Bloody Mary with like all of breakfast stuck in it, like a skewer with all these lunch meats, another one with a bunch of cheeses.
I've seen something like that.
Fucking great, man. You can go there and just be satisfied after a hangover.
What's the one they always have in Mexican restaurants?
What do you mean? Sangria.
Sangria.
Yeah.
Not a big fan of that either.
Me neither. Although in Spain, it's different.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. It's they have white wine sangria and red wine, and the fruit is, I don't know. I liked it a lot more. Mm. It's almost, we started making it here. So we took wine and then we put like soda water in it, and you end up with this like winey spritzer thing. And
that seems like it'd be good.
It's really good. It's really refreshing too. Yeah.
But what's the one that's not alcoholic? They always have horchata and the other thing.
Tamarindo and Jamaica.
Jamaica. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, man. Horchata, I don't know. It's good if like you have something super spicy, but I always went for the Jamaica.
Yeah. Jamaica is really good.
Last question from Atrocious. What's your favorite old school shooter that is still fun to play today, including all the recent ones like Dusk, Strafe, Immortal Redneck, etc.?
I had a really good time with Strafe. I thought that was really good. It's a roguelike, I believe, yeah. And so it was kind of like old school shooter mixed with, can I say Doom 2016? I don't know. That would be my favorite, I guess.
Yeah, it is. Like, I don't know. That game is like, it's the only game that it's the only like solid first person shooter, like strictly first person shooter that still works. Mm. Like everybody else has always, has already been like, okay, first person shooters are done. You can't make them anymore. Unless they're like a PVP, MOBA or like Battle Royale. Sim. Like you can't just make a single player narrative first person shooter anymore. And then comes along Doom and does just that. And it's because they just,
and Wolfenstein.
Yeah. Wolfenstein. I guess that's true.
Precursor. But yeah, it's just fucking fun and killing for killing's sake. It's just good time.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't want to be bogged down with words and reading.
Dusk is really good. I like that one. But of course, my favorite one is always going to be Jedi Knight, Dark Forces 2. Although that's a tough game to go back because there's just a lot of technical problems you got to fix before you play that one. I posted on my Twitter that link to where you can download like the installer that does everything for you. And that's fantastic. But I don't know, dude, like going back, the Turok remakes were pretty good. Like in those ones, you just install them and they're ready to go. Like, but Turok is a freaking tough game, man. Like you got to check every little nook and cranny. And you know, a lot of times I've talked about this before, but with those old games, the textures are so low resolution. It's very difficult to tell what is supposed to be what.
It's like Minecraft.
Know? Yeah. It's like, oh, that's supposed to be a rock or like, you know, that's a gate that I can slash through. I got stuck if you watch my stream, when I was playing Jedi Outcast, the second one, I was finishing that game and I was stuck at one part. I couldn't figure out what I had to do. Turns out I had to slash a pipe that would then allow water to come down and extinguish a flame. Couldn't even tell that was a pipe up there. No idea. Like just like,
did you look it up?
Yeah, I had to look it up. Yeah. And I've beaten the game before. Yeah. So I figured it out at one point, but you know, just like we're so used to games now that have good graphics and everything looks like what they're supposed to look like. And usually they give you a hint as to what you're supposed to do. But back then it was just like, you got to slash this blocky orange thing above your head up there. And that's the only way to progress. Otherwise you're dead in the water. It's tough.
Dude, Nick has a good recommendation. He said, we got to play Crawl. And now with the remote play, that's fucking great. That's a great
game. Oh yeah. Crawl would be good. I mean, that's an example of a game where the graphics,
you can't really tell what some things are. Like, oh, I didn't know that was spikes.
That's like Atari level graphics. Yeah. It's like 2600 Atari graphics.
What else? I'm going to throw this out there. I guess it would be too many moving parts to do it right now, but it'd be great if we did do a little rap battle right now on through that game. But like, we would have to have somebody who has it stream it to us. So I don't think that's going to work.
Yeah. That sounds like something we should add.
So. Yeah. Maybe next week.
Yeah, man. You know, I'm surprised they haven't remade Redneck Rampage. Although in a weird way, I don't think
Immortal Redneck is kind of like a version of it, right?
Yeah, I guess kind of, I mean the redneck aspect, but
and the shooting part.
Yeah. But you aren't in the, you're in like Egypt or something.
Oh,
But yeah, I've tried to go back and play that one. Yeah, doesn't hold up. Yeah.
Yes, Waconius. Well, Clamato. That's all you need. Clamato with beer. You ever try that, Bobby?
I think I don't like Clamato.
Oh, it got so popular that they started mixing it pre-mixed.
You can just buy beer. And I've had that, but yeah.
All right. I think that's it. Next week, I'll review that game that somebody sent me, that action roguelike. I don't know what else I'm going to play.
Yeah, we'll see what's on sale. I'll check out that Wrecketeer game.
Yeah.
The shop game.
If it sucks, dude, it was $4. But
yeah. But I mean, the reviews are there. There's got to be something to it.
Yeah.
So I'll check that one out. Also going to check out, what else did I buy? Political Animals. Going to give that game a spin. Political Simulator, why not? Let's go.
All right, cool. Speaking for Bobby and myself, let's go with Tres Leches Titties, everybody. Bye-bye. So we would have to, like, go into a channel with Sniper and have him stream it, and then we play on our phones. It's not too hard.